Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Samech Vav. We are holding on daf Samech Hey Amid Beis. Towards the bottom of the page at the two dots, about 12, 15 lines before the end of the page, we were in the middle of quoting various brisos that assume that Sad Echad Beribis is usher, that even if you have a deal where only one way that that deal can be met would be a ribis problem, and the other way would not be a ribis problem, that too is usher, and that's against the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Sad Echad Beribis is mutter. The Gemara is then going to give a couple of examples where we interpret someone's verbal commitment to be something less than a commitment. We interpret it to be Petume Mila Bialma, which means just being nice, saying nice things to calm the other person down, but doesn't really mean to actually commit verbally to what they're saying that they're committing to. And that leads us into a discussion. It doesn't actually lead us into the Gemara gets into a discussion about halfway through Amud Aleph of Asmachta, and that's what the majority of our daf is about. And Asmachta is where a person says that he's committing to something, but he's only saying it because he doesn't think it will ever come to it. He's saying, if I don't do this, if I don't pay back this money, then I'll give you the world. So he doesn't really intend on giving the world. He's just saying it because he thinks he will pay back the money in a timely fashion. So we're going to have a discussion of Asmachta, and it really kicks off with the case that we had in the Mishnah, where they make a deal where the Malva gets to keep a very valuable field if the Lova doesn't pay the loan back within 3 years. Why would the Lova be willing to give the Malva a field that far exceeds the value of the loan? He's not really committing to potentially, he's not really committing to give that to the Malva. What he's trying to say is that I do plan on paying you back within 3 years. And that leads us into whether Asmachta Kanya or Asmachta Lo Kanya. Do we assume that that affects a Kinyan or not? The Gemara is going to tell us on Amud Beis that maybe there are different ways you can tell how serious the person is about the commitment based on how he's acting on the last day that the loan is due. Is he just relaxing and comfortable and which shows that he's okay with whatever deal was set up, or is he running around looking for money and trying to pay up at the last minute? So maybe we can see, based on how he's behaving on the last day of the loan, how serious he was about the commitment. The Gemara is also going to have a possible chilek between karka and metaltalin when it comes to asmachta. To say that you get to keep my field, that's a very big deal. To say that you can take these jugs of wine, well, jugs of wine are meant to be sold anyway, so maybe that's not as big a deal if that was the nature of his commitment, should he not pay up the loan. And at the very end of the daf, if we get to it today, there's going to be a discussion of mechila b'ta'us. A person makes a mechila, but the mechila was based on a false premise, whether a mechila b'ta'us counts as a mechila or not. So we are holding at the two dots on daf samachay amibayz, where mashkin lo bayis, mashkin lo sada, the first one line is mutter. Mashkin lo bayis, mashkin lo sada, v'armer lo, l'kshe tirtza l'mochram, lo timachrim, elali b'damim alalu, aser. If a person gives for a loan, he gives as a mashkon, a house or a field, and he says to him, look, when you want to sell them, if you ever want to sell these items, you should only sell them to me for this amount of money, and he recommends a price that is very favorable, a very small amount of money in addition to the most of the halva'a, so you should only be able to sell it to me, that's aser. B'shavyei and mutter, but if he says a price that's actually the real value of the field, and he says you should sell it to me for that value, then it's mutter. Mantana b'dam malalu aser, who's the one that holds that if you make such a commitment to give the field, to sell the field at a lesser price, that's an iser, so when the field is currently being used as a mashkon, amra funa b'dam malalu aser, delok Rabbi Yehuda, must be against Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yudol Sadech Bribis is mutter, meaning the deal wasn't that you must sell it to me for a lower price because I was nice enough to lend you money. That would be ribis. The deal is, if you want to sell this field to anybody, I have to be the one that you sell it to for this cheaper price. So there are two options that could happen over here. One option is the guy doesn't want to sell the field, in which case there's absolutely no ribis problem. He had borrowed money, he gave the field as a mashkon, one day he'll pay back the money, he'll get back his mashkon, end of story. But if he chooses the option of selling the field, and he now has to sell the field for a cheaper price to this guy, because this guy lent him money, that would be ribis. So of the two options, one of them is a ribis problem, that is text textbook Tzad Echad Beribis. So if you're going to say that it's Aser, it means you're going against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Tzad Echad Beribis is Mutter. If you look in Tosos, so Timkra Melali B'dam Malalu Aser, Masha Pirish Bekuntros, Pasuk Lo Dam Mu'atin, Lahosef Amos Halalu, La'amida B'yado, in Balamokra, Mishum Delav Orcha Demilsu, Shiyimchalo Lagamri B'dmei Alva'a. Rashi says, you know, it's not just that he's saying, you'll sell me the house at this cheaper price. He's saying, in addition to giving me back the loan money, that you'll also sell me this at a cheaper price. So it says, it tells us the reason Rashi makes such an ukimta is because it wouldn't make sense that he wouldn't be mochel the dmei halva'a entirely. The lama yasa came, the tovlo shate b'toros mashkon, shiifta masa shiirtza. He wouldn't be mochel the halva'a. What he's saying is, you'll still pay me back the halva'a, but I'm going to get the rights to buy this property at a cheaper price anyway, because why would he give up the halva'a when he'd rather have the halva'a there and use this as a mashkon in the meantime? Ubechinam pirishkein says Tosos, I don't think he needed to say that. The belavto sefes damim posik imola hatzmisa biado imbola mochra dikshiyidchok osa malva mimosav alkeinye zokluk luftosa alkarchye zokluk luftosa. It's not really putting him in a bad position if he's mochel the halva, because he's saying that I'm going to get this field at a much cheaper price anyway, so it's going to come to a point where you're going to be desperate for the money, and therefore it's I'm going to be able to buy this field. So it's not really putting himself in a bad position anyhow, so it does disagrees with Rashi. You don't have to say that the halva remains intact, even should he decide to sell this field at a cheaper price. Okay, says Gemara further, Machalo Bayis, Machalo Sada, Varmalo, Likshiuli Mos Hachzirimli Aser. I sell you my field, but I say, you know, I'm really not happy about having to sell my field. I'd rather be able to keep my field. I'm desperate for the money. But here's the deal. When I do have money, if I ever make enough money, I want that I have the right to buy back my field. So such a deal is Aser. Rashi says in the second wide line, Denimsa Shein Zemecher, because then it's not really a sale. If I always have the right to buy it back, that means that I didn't really sell it to you. So what is it? What is it? It's a loan. You're giving me this money for a field that I'm not really selling to you. So it's like the field is a mashkon. When I get the money back, I'm going to be able to give you the money back. I'll get my field back. So fine, in terms of the field, you just kept it as a mashkon. But what about all the payros you ate from the field? So essentially what happened is you loaned me some money, you got your money back, and you got to eat payros in the interim from that field. That's ribbis. That's going to be a problem. So l'kshiyula l'chom ma'os achzirim lach mutter. But if it's not the mocher who's making the deal, it's the lokeach who's making the deal. The guy who's buying the field is saying, look, I could see you're uncomfortable about selling the field. I'm just doing this to help you get some money right now. But if you ever have money and you want to buy it back, no problem. Just come to me and buy it back. No problem. I'll sell it to you. Such a deal is mutter. Why is such a deal mutter? So the Gemara is gonna deal with it. But if it's on the side of the lokeach that the deal is being made, that's mutter. So mantana amra from the Brit of Shua de lokrab Yehuda. This idea that it would be usher if it's the mocher is against Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Tzara v'chad b'ribis muter. It's not a definite that it's going to be ribis. We don't know that he's ever going to have the money to buy it back. It's only going to be a ribis problem if he has the money to buy it back, and then he buys it back, and then it turns out that the lokeach not only got his money back, but he got the payros as well. But if he never gets the money to buy it back, so then the sale is final, and he just bought a property, so there's no ribis issue at all. So it's tzad echad beribis, and therefore by saying that it's us, we're taking a stance against Rabbi Yehuda. But says Gemara, Maishan Reisha Maishan Seifa. Why does it matter who said the deal? Why does it matter whether it was the lokeach or the mocher who made the promise that if you ever have the money, you can buy it back? So Amar Rava, Seifa da Amar Lei Midaite. No, because in the case where it's the lokeach who's saying it, he's not saying, I'm promising that I'm going to sell you back the field. He's saying, try me. If I'm in the mood, maybe I'll sell you back the field. If I'm feeling it, if I'm interested, if I'm not so in love with this field anyway, I'll sell. But he's leaving open the possibility that he'll decide not to sell it back. So that's a real mecher. Meaning you can't call that a halva'a, because the guy doesn't, the mocher doesn't really have the right to get it back whatever he wants. He has the right to try. He has the right to make an offer. But the lokech is still going to retain the right to say no. So that's why it's a real final mecher. But in the first case, it was the lokech saying, look, I'm only selling this field. If it was the mocher rather saying, I'm only selling this field if I have the absolute right to buy it back. So it turns out that the chilek, at least at this point in the Gemara, is not really between whether the mocher said it or whether the lokech said it. The chilek is in the nature of the deal. If the deal is that the lokech always has the right to buy it back, and the mocher, the mocher always has the right to buy it back, and the lokech can't stop him, that's tzadech beribis. But if the deal is that he doesn't have the right, he has the right to try, but the lokech can just as easily say no and not sell it back to him, that's not ribis at all, that's just a normal mechira. A certain person sold land to his friend without kabbalas achrayus. Now, generally speaking, that's a mistake. When you sell, when a person buys land, he wants to have a guarantee that if it gets taken away from him, if it gets confiscated from him, he's going to be able to go back to the mocher and say, reimburse me, you sold me a lemon, you sold me land that was confiscated from me. This guy made the mistake of buying shelo b'achrayus. He must have been desperate to get such an unfavorable deal. He must have been desperate for the money. So Chaz Yadavaka Atziv, the seller saw that the buyer was very sad. Of course he was sad. He just took a massive risk in buying land, shelo b'achrayus. Amlei, am mayatzivus, why are you sad? Itovra laminach, don't worry. You know, I know that this is unconventional to sell land without achrayus, but if anyone ever takes it from you, magvina loch shufra shivcha upiri, don't worry, I'll give you the best land with whatever. And you know, if you invest in this land that you just bought, and you have payros that come from this, I'll reimburse you all of that too. I'll give you the world. Don't worry about it. If anything were to be taken away from you, you're going to be reimbursed and taken care of very well. He has no obligation to actually follow through on that. If the land actually gets taken away, the mocher has no obligation to actually provide him with land and shivcha upiri and all the rest. It's p'tumimila. It's just a way of saying that he's trying to comfort him, but it's not an actual commitment. So that's a discussion that. The Erech Shai raises the question, how can you say Petumi Mila, Dvarm Shabalei Vareinam Dvarim? He's making an actual commitment that he's going to do this. And believe he's saying, I'm just kidding. But Dvarm Shabalei Vareinam Dvarim, so shouldn't he be Chayiv to give it to him? The Rishonim, struggle with what exactly, when we say Petumi Mili and when we don't say Petumi Mili. So he suggests that since it's Mefurish in the Shtar, that he's selling it Shaloba Achrayus, because normally Achrayus is Tov Sofer. So it's got to be Mefurish in the Shtar that it's Shaloba Achrayus in order for there not to be Achrayus. So that's where we say that the Dvarim Shabal Peh that are going against Dvarim Shabashtar, that Dafka you added into the Shtar, that's where we say that it's Einoel Ptumim Milibi Alma, that it's not meant to be taken seriously. Now the Beis Yosef writes in the name of Talmidei Rashba that it's only if he didn't say a Pelashon Tanai. He said it as a Sipur Dvarim. He was saying to him, yeah, I'll pay back, don't worry about it. But if he says Al Tanai Zani Mochalach, that I'm selling it to you with this Tanai, that if it gets taken from you, I'll give you back, I'll pay you back. So then it's not just Petumi Mili, then it's a Tanai, meaning if he had the presence of mind to formulate it in a Lashon Tanai, so that's a very serious statement, and that should be taken seriously. That's how the Beis Yosef writes from the Talmidei HaRashba. However, the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, and Darkei Moshe quotes from HaGos Mordechai, that whenever we say Petumi Mili B'Alma, even if he makes it tonight kafel, it doesn't help. It's not a tanai. It's just a petumi mili. We don't take it seriously. Because the Hagos Mordechai raises the question, why in the Gemara does it say that the tanai doesn't help? It's petumi mili b'alma. And we don't say that he didn't say it tonight kafel. He didn't do mishpatei atanayim. And that's why it doesn't help. Instead of giving the reason petumi mili, just say, well, he didn't fulfill all the mishpatei atanayim. So says Hagos Mordechai, what you see from there is that even though he did fill all the mishpatei atanayim, he did say it exactly the way a tanai is supposed to be formulated, still we view it as just petumi mili b'almahu. So that's the machlokas between the mechaber and the Ramah. Amrle Ravashi la Meimer, Taima Mai. So Ravashi says to Meimer, why is it that we view it as Pitumi Mila Bialma? Kimi de Lokeach Boy Lasnuye, Vacha Mocher Kamasni, Am Pitumi Mila Bialma Hu. Who's the one that should be making the Tanai that you should pay back if it gets taken away? The Lokeach is the one who's taking the risk. So he's the one that should be insisting on such a Tanai that you got to pay me back if it gets taken away. Over here, it's unusual. It's the mocher that's making it tonight. He sees the lokeach is sad, so he's telling him, don't worry, I'll pay you back. That's not a real tonight. That's how we know that it's a petumi mila bialmahu, because he's not the one, it's not on his side that it's supposed to be taken. He's not the one who's taking the risk. So says Gemara, oh yeah, but elamas nisa diktani, lekshiyu lecha mos, achsir lecha mutter, that if a guy says, when you have money, I'll give you back this property, it's mutter. Now, who's the one that should be making that tonight? The guy, the malva lends the lova money, the lova gives the malva a very valuable field as a mashkon. The malva says, when you have money, I'll give you back the field. Or I'm sorry, the lokeach. He said, when you have money, I'll give it back to you. So it wasn't malva lova, it was a lokeach and a mocher, that I'm selling you a field, but don't worry, when you have money, I'll give it back to you. So really, the lokeach should be the one that's making that tonight, not the mocher. And yet we say that the mocher who debay lasnuye, the mocher is the one that should have been the one. I'm sorry, the mocher, the one who sold the field, should have been the one making the tanai, because he's the one that's going to be want to buy the field back. Mocher lo asni v'lokeach kamasni. The mocher is not the one who made this tanai. The lokeach is the one who made the tanai. He bought the field and he said, "Don't worry, if you ever have the money, I know you're upset about having to sell the field. If you ever have the money, I'll give you the field right back." And we questioned, why is it that when the guy who bought the field makes the tonight, that's okay, but when the guy who sold the field makes the tonight, that's not okay? And we said, oh, because when it's not really a difference between the mocher and the lokeach, the real difference was, does he really have to follow through on it? That if the deal was that, yes, I must sell it back to you, that's a ribbis issue. But if the deal was, I'll think about it. You come, make me an offer, and we'll see. Maybe I'll sell it back to you. If it's midaite, then it's not a problem. So So it sounds like once you make it ironclad, once it's not just midaite, it's that whenever you get the money, I'll sell it back to you. It doesn't matter who's the one that introduced that tonight. We assume that we have to take it seriously, and therefore it's going to be a ribbis problem, because we do take it seriously. It's a real tzadech ribbis problem. So what happened? I buy a field from you. I see that you're upset about selling the field. You should be the one making a tanai that you could buy it back whenever you want. But I, out of the goodness of my heart, I make the tanai and I say, don't worry, I'll sell it back to you. And I mean it, that I'm going to be obligated to sell it back to you. So the halacha is, it's a ribbis issue. What do you mean? It should be a joke. I'm not the one that should be making the tanai. And if I'm the one that made the tanai, the whole thing is a petumi mili. If you're going to say that the person who shouldn't be introducing the tanai introduces the tanai, that's a petumi mili. So this too should be a petumi mili. So says Gemara, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Amalei nasa kemanda amalei midaita yitmar. There's no real difference between the two cases other than who's the one that's making the tanai. When we say that, it was midaite, that he left it open-ended, maybe I'll sell it back to you, maybe I won't sell it back to you, he didn't actually say that. That's how we treat it. That if the mocher, who's so sad that he just had to sell his field, introduces this tanai, that whenever I have the money, I should be able to buy it back from you, we know he's serious, and we know that that's binding. But when the lokeach is the one that says it, then we assume that he only means midaite, because that's another way of saying petume mili, that we really assume that that's just a petume mili type of statement, because he has no reason to introduce such a tanai. So that's what we really meant when we said midaite. So initially we thought midaite was just a way of saying that it doesn't really matter whether it was the lokeach or the mocher. What really matters is what the actual conditions were. Now we're saying, no, what midaite means is the assumed conditions depend on who's the one that introduced it, whether it was the lokeach or the mocher. Okay, there was a guy who was dying, wrote a get to his wife because he didn't want his wife to have to face a yibum situation. In gid v'isnach, you know, he was showing that he was groaning and sighing. He wasn't happy about the fact that he had to divorce his wife. Amra Le, so his wife said to him, Amayka Misnachas, why were you upset? Ikeyamta Didachana, don't worry, if you live, if you survive this, I'll get married to you, we'll remarry, it's not going to be a problem, I'm yours. So she obligated to do that. If he gets better, she obligated to remarry him. So Amra Zvid, Ptumi Mila Bialmahu. What do you say to a dying man? You're going to say, you know, I'm so happy that that we got divorced. You're not going to say something like that. He's a dying man, so you say such a thing, but she doesn't actually have to do it. And let's say it were, let's say she were serious and she were saying that this get is al tanai, that I'm going to have to remarry you. Does she have the authority to introduce a tanai into the get anyhow? Meaning, it's his job to put a tanai into the get. You can be Megarish Nisha Bal Karcha. She can't do it on her terms anyhow. So Gemara says, no, Mal Dutema. One might have thought that he's only giving the get adaita dida on her das. So meaning when he's writing the get, he's accepting that tanai. So it's ki'ilu that he's being matil the tanai in the get. So kamash malon, that's why it has to tell us that that's not the case. If you look at Tosos, kamash malon, pirish tuchinami adaita dida maknila, meaning, what's the Kamash Malan? The Kamash Malan is not that he wasn't really working off of what she had said. He was. He wrote the get only because of what she had said, and therefore he was trying to be matil that tanai, whatever her tanai was, he's trying to actually attach that to this get. Problem was, she wasn't really making it tonight. She was just Petumi Mili. So that's the Kamash Malan. Kamash Malan is Petumi Mili, so as much as he's trying to incorporate what she had said into the get, it doesn't do anything, because what she had said is just a joke. What she had said is just a way of making making him feel better. So that's how Tosus writes. That's the Chor of the Pasha Pshat. In one of the Achronim, according to the Masifta over here, the Milchas HaBoker, he's Medayik, that if the woman were to take a Shvua Gemura, that she's going to remarry him, so then clearly he's being Somech Al Dvareha, and he's writing the get and being Megarisher only Al Das that, and therefore she should have to remarry him. And so he says it's strange, because Rashi says that it's Petum Mili Afilum Nishba Shvua Gemura, that it's Petum Mili, even if there's a real Shvua Gemura over here. Why would you say that? Why would you say that even if it's a Shvua Gemura? If the whole idea is, right, that's Rashi Dibur Maschel Vilav. Vilav Petum Mili Mai, Va'afim Amra Be'emes, Be'kabbalah Shvua Gemura Mai. It still won't make a difference, because she doesn't have the right to make it tonight. So, L'maskara Sagamara, maybe if it's a Shvua Gemura, it's not her making the Tanai, it's him making the Tanai, it's just he's going off of what she's saying. So if it's a real commitment, so then he has every right to take her seriously. Hilvo al Sadehu. We had the case in the Mishnah where a guy loaned money and he took a field as a mashkon, and the deal was, you don't pay back within 3 years, I'm going to keep this field, even though the field is way more valuable than the actual loan. Amrafuna b'shas matan ma'os kana hakol. La'achar matan ma'os lo kana ela kenegan ma'osav. If the deal was made at the time that the money was given, then ein achinami. He's kona the whole field. We assume it was an actual commitment. But if the commitment was made after the money was given, we assume that it wasn't meant as a serious deal. It's what we call a smachta. He's saying, if I don't pay back, then I'll give you this super valuable field. He doesn't really mean it. He's not giving any super valuable fields. So it's only kenegan ma'osav. So all you can keep from the field is the amount of money that you're actually owed if the person had failed to pay you back. Rav Nachman says, no, I feel l'achar matan ma'os, kana kol. Even if it's l'achar matan ma'os, he's kona the entire field. Of Rav Nachman uvdega by Reish Galusa k'shmaite. Rav Nachman had a shaila by the Reish Galusa, and he did exactly like his shita, that even l'achar matan ma'os, that he took this seriously, and that he's kona, that the person, when the loan is not paid back, gets to keep the entire field. Kari Rav Yehuda l'shtare. Rav Yehuda saw that shtar, he tore up the shtar. This deal does not work. Amalei Reish Galusa, Rav Yehuda Karu L'Shtarcha. So the Reish Galusa goes and reports to Rav Nachman, do you know what Rav Yehuda did to your shtar? Here's a shtar that you thought was binding. And Rav Yehuda went and tore it up. Amalei Dardika Karei, Gavra Rabba Kare. So the first version of how Rav Nachman reacted was very respectful of Rav Yehuda. Why, you think it was a child that tore it up? That's Rav Yehuda. Don't come reporting back to me as if he did something wrong. He's Rav Yehuda. He knows what he's doing. Chazbe time of a kare. He must have had a very good reason for doing it. Otherwise, he never would have torn up my shtar. Obviously, he had a very good reason for doing it. Igadami, another version of how he reacted, was similar words, but it's all a matter of punctuation. You know, whether it's a question mark or an exclamation point. That Armalei, Dardika Kare, what a child he is for tearing up my shtar. He doesn't know anything about Dine Mamanus like I do. And everyone else, in comparison to me, in terms of their knowledge of Dine Mamanus, are a bunch of children. I mean, Rav Nachman was known as to be a Baki Bedina. He was Hilchsik Rav Nachman Bedini. We passed like Rav Nachman in Dine Mamanus because he was a great expert in Dine Mamanus. So some of you, the likes of Rav Yehuda, are going to come rip up my shtar. He has no business doing so. Hadar Amar Rav Nachman, Afil B'Shas Matan Mos Lo Kanav Lo Klum. And then Rav Nachman changed his mind and said, even if it's B'Shas Matan Mos, the whole thing is he's not Kona at all. The whole thing is an Asmachta, and he's not Kona at all. Esve Rav Rav Nachman, Imiyat Anosi Li Mikan Vat Sholoshonim, Harei He Shali, Harei He Shalo. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, you know, it says in our Mishnah, if the guy doesn't pay back within 3 years, I want the field to be mine. Halach is, the field is his. Amlei Ani Omer Asmachta Kanya. You know, initially I thought that Asmachta is Kona. I used to always say that, yeah, Kona Hakol, Asmachta Kanya, Uminyome Omer Asmachta Lo Kanya. And Minyome is the one that disagreed with me, and he's the one that said that Asmachta is not Kona. That if you say such a guzma, that, you know, if I don't pay back the $100, keep my $1 million field. Well, $100, $1 million, that's crazy. That Asmachta is not Kona, he doesn't really mean it. Uminyome Kashmas Nisin. But then what do you do with our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah it sounds like, yeah, he gets to keep the $1 million field. So Ibai say Masnis Rabbi Yossi, Hidam Rasmachta Kanya. Well, one possibility is that our Mishnah follows the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, meaning what everyone agrees is that it is a machlokas tanaim, whether Asmachta is Kanya or not. The question is how to paskin. It's Babasu Kuf Samachas, machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Asmachta is Kona or not. The case over there is someone who is para miktsas chovo, and the malva takes out the shtar, and he doesn't give it to the love, he gives it to a to a third party, and the Lova says to the Shlish, you know what, if I don't pay back the balance until by a certain point, give him the whole shtar back, and you know, and then he'll be able to collect the whole amount again. So does he really mean that? It means he really plans on paying the balance by a certain amount of time. So that's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Does he really mean that? Does the shlish have the right to give that shtar back to the malva? So it could just be that he's following Rabbi, that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi, that asmachta kanya, or you might say madam le kneme achshav, or it could be that in the case of our Mishnah he said kneme achshav, and when you say me'achshav, it's always going to be kona, because what you're essentially doing is you're giving him a good deal on the field right now. You're actually selling him the field as he's giving you the money. So if you say kani me'achshav, it's not an issue of asmachta at all. It's just an issue of selling a field at a really cheap price. The major question in the whole sugya of asmachta that all the Rishonim deal with, the $1 million question, is what exactly is the difference between asmachta and tanai? Tanai is also that if this happens, then I will commit to do that. So isn't that smachta just another form of tanai? The whole idea of tanai, b'nei Gad, b'nei Ruvain, if you come and you help fight the battle, then you'll get to keep this the Aver Yarden. Why isn't that an asmachta? So several answers are given in the Rishonim. The Ramban in Bab Basra in the Darim suggests that when you're tolu b'das atzmo, there's a smachta. When you're tolu b'das acherim, then there's a tanai. So what does it mean, tolu b'das atzmo? That you think you're in control of the situation. So that's what we're going to call a smachta, because you're obviously planning on taking control and doing what you want to do so that you don't have to give up more than you're planning on giving up. Whereas if you're tolu b'das acherim, where you know full well that you're not in control of the situation and you're still committing to it, so then obviously that's a real commitment. And that's why Ben Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Makna Eretz Yisrael, and he was tola with the Das of B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvein, he was tola what they do. They're the ones that are kona. So that's not a problem of a smachta. The Magen Mishnah just points out in Hilchos Mechira that the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam clearly holds that even Tol B'das Acherim, it could still be a smachta. So other Rishonim have different approaches. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Chinuch suggest that a smachta is where you're mechayiv something that you're not mechayiv in, meaning you're making a tanai that's b'derech knas. But as long as it's not b'derech knas, it's not going to be an asmachta. Tanai b'nei gadol b'nei ruvein wasn't like a penalty. It was, you know, you have to earn it. But if you make it, you formulate it like it's a penalty, that's like an unreasonable penalty, so that's that you're imposing upon yourself, that's what we would call a smachta. The sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush is that it's all a matter of whether you're exaggerating. If it's an exaggerated amount, why in the world would you commit to that amount? Why would you be giving things, you know, the discussion on smachta by gambling? Why in the world? Just because a card turns up, to be a five instead of an ace or something like that. So I'm going to give you $1,000? That's crazy. The whole thing is a guzma. Why in the world would I actually commit to give you something like that? So that's how Rabbeinu Tam understands that such a thing would be an asmachta. But if it's not a guzma, if it's not, you're not exaggerating. So then that's what we would call a tanai. Several other approaches in Rishonim as well. Exactly how to define the difference. That's really the number one question when you have the deal of asmachta, is exactly how to define the difference between tanai and asmachta. Amalei Mar Yanuka Mark Shisha B'nei de Rav Chista the Rav Ashi. Mar Yanuka and Mark Shisha, Rav Chista's children, said to Rav Ashi, before we even see the story, what kind of names did Rav Chista give his children? Was he like Lahavdil, like George Foreman, right? That is George 1, George 2, George 3. He named all of his kids the same thing. So some of the Acharim say, yeah, he had two children. He named them both Mar. And the way he differentiated between them was Mar the younger one and Mar the older one. Now those were the two names. So in the Sefer Enei Kol Chai, quoted in the Masifta, in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, Rav Chaim Palagi writes that you see from here, you're allowed to call two of your children the same name. That there's no Isser Bedavar, because you see that he did that. So some of the Achronim say, no, different Malkiel is Jew. He says, no, that's when they used to name their kids Al Pi Ma'ora with Ruach HaKodesh, based on events that happened. But we name Al Shem Avos, which is how we name after family members, so you don't start splitting up the name amongst different children. That's not good in terms of mystically what it means for the neshama or whatever. You just name after one child. Plus, it causes all sorts of confusion. Large families used to live all in the same house, so they're both brothers are going to get married. Their wives are going to both be calling each other, and they're not going to know who they're calling. So it's just going to cause too much, too many risks of confusion. But anyway, it seems that that's what he did. He named them both the same name. So anyway, so these two sons of Rav Chista sent Rav Ashi, Hachri Amri Nardai, Mishmet Rav Nachman. In Arda, they say in the name of Rav Nachman, Haya Smachta Bizmane Kanya, Belo Zmane Lo Kanya. That if it's Bizmane, if it's the Zman for payback, and he didn't give him the money, so then it's Kona. But if it's Belo Zmane, it's before the time where he would pay back anyway, that's when he makes the commitment, then it's Lo Kanya. I'm like, call me the bismane kani below zmane lo kani. What do you mean? You're always only kona when the payment was due and it didn't come through. That's when the kinyan is made. So dilma achi kamri. So maybe what you meant to say is as follows: that ashke begozimni va'amle kani kani. If when there was no pressure on the love, it was before the time to pay up, that's when he made the commitment to do it, and he said it's okay, you could be kona my field. Then you're actually kona it. Basar zimni va'amr lekani lo kani. But if he knows that he already owes the money, so he feels the pressure, he's got to say something. So he says, okay, you can be kona my field instead. So then it's not kona. He doesn't really mean it. My timer, machmas kisufu de kamerle. He only said that because he was embarrassed. He knows that the loan is already due. He knows that he doesn't have the money. So because he was embarrassed, he said, okay, just take the field. Velohi says where it's not true. Even within this man, he's also not kona. Even if the lover makes that commitment within this man, he's not kona. The reason that he said that he could be kona is because he doesn't want the malva to be pressuring him when the loan actually comes due. Amrav Papa, Hayas Machta Zimnin Kanya V'Zimnin Lo Kanya. This is Machta. Sometimes it's kona, sometimes it's not kona. How do we know what's what? So you could tell by the behavior of the love. Kani. If you find that he's drinking beer on the day that the loan is due, so then you know that he's not pressured, he's relaxing, and clearly he's comfortable with the fact that you're going to keep his field. But if you see that he's running around looking for money, trying to gather whatever he can, because he knows that if he doesn't pay up today, the field is going to be lost. So even though he doesn't actually come up with the money, the field is not lost, because he clearly didn't really want to give up the field. That's an asmachta where it's not going to be kona. So it all depends on the behavior of this fellow. So how do you know why he's drinking beer? You know, it could be because he's relaxed and he's hanging out in a bar and that's why he's drinking beer. Or the bar is not filled with happy people. You know, there's a lot of people that are just drinking away their sorrows. So it could be that he's so distraught about losing the land. It's not that he's comfortable with it. He's so distraught. He's just drinking. So he's to take away his pachad over the fact that he doesn't know what he's going to do. And Rashi writes, what does it mean? The pekuchei pachdei lahafik da'agos shadoig almos tichsiv v'yayin yasamach. Ooh, so that Rashi, the Gilyonei Hashas, points out, Yayin Yisamach, it doesn't say he was drinking Yayin, it says he was drinking beer. So Yayin is Yisamach L'Vav Enosh. So says the Gilyonei Hashas, you see from here, that by Shechar there's an Indian of Simcha as well. The Nafkamina for Simcha's Yamtuf, that when it comes to Simcha's Yamtuf, it's not only Yayin, Yayin Yisamach L'Vav Enosh, but apparently even beer as well has the Segula HaMisameach, that has the ability, that Segula is called alcohol, that has the ability to be Misameach, the person. In the Gemara Megillah Dav Zayin, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rava, famously, Mechai Vinish of the Sumi Bipuri Adelayoda Ben Aham Baruch Mordechai, that a person should get intoxicated on purpose. So Rashi says, L'Shtaker B'Yayin, Dafka, to get drunk with wine. So the Yisaris Tshuva points out that it sounds that other Meshakrim don't work on Purim, that it's Dafka B'Yayin. On Purim it could be there's an extra Inyan Dafka to use Yayin, because it's a Zecher to the way the Nes happened, that it was through a Mishte Yayin that the Nes happened. But from this Rashi it sounds like, well, as far as Simcha is concerned, it doesn't have to be Yayin, it could even be beer. So anyway, so it, just seeing the fact that he's drinking doesn't necessarily tell you anything. Or maybe he is relaxing and that's why he's drinking, but maybe he's relaxing because someone promised him the money and he believes the person, and the person actually doesn't end up coming through with the money. So just because he's relaxing doesn't mean that he's really comfortable giving up his field. Now the way to tell is, if you see that he's not selling anything off for cheaper and he's makbid about getting every last cent for whatever he sells, then you know that he's not so desperate to get his field back, and then you're kona the field. No, maybe he's being makbid about getting every last cent for things that he's selling, because he's worried that if he starts selling things off for cheap, people are going to realize how desperate he is, and then everything that he has is going to be worthless. If he's makbid about not selling land, then you know that he won't sell any land even at its value. Then you know that he's not so desperate to get this sadeh back, because if he were desperate to get this sadeh back, he would sell off other land at least at its proper value. Vamra, so he doesn't lose this sadeh at way below market value. Vamra papa, avagav damra abana smachta lokanya, aputiki avilamigvamina. Even though smachta is not kona, the guy can still use the field to collect at least the amount of the debt from the field. He can't take the whole field, but if the field's worth $1,000 and the guy owes him $100, he could take 10% of the field. Amalei refunibre de Rav Nassim, the Rav Papa, mikamalei kani luguvaina. Did he ever tell him, you're taking this field as a thing to collect from? The field was given as a mashkon. Amalei mazuch rebre de Rav Mari Ravina, viyamar kani lemigvamine kani. And if he were to give it to him and say that you can be kona this to collect with it, would he be kona? Sof sof asmachti, vasmachta lo kanya. Isn't that also an asmachti? Even making an apotiki is only an asmachti. He doesn't really want to give up any part of the field. El apotiki, dekam Rav Papa, mahi, damar le lo yilu chapiron el mizu. It's an apotiki if he actually says so, if he actually says that you should only get paid back from this field. Hu gavar de zavon le'ara lechavri ba'achrayas. Someone sold the field to his friend with achrayas. So not only was there Achrayus, but the guy who bought the field said, you know, I don't want just Achrayus, I want a guarantee that you're going to give me the very best of the best of your fields to reimburse me if this gets taken away. I can't give you my very best. I need to keep that. But don't worry, I'll give you other high quality stuff, just not my highest quality stuff. Ultimately, the field got taken away from this guy, so he wanted to come collect from the Idis. Also, Batka Shaka li Idei Idis. Problem is, the Idei Idis that he refused to give him was flooded away, was destroyed. So Rav Papa lememer mi Idis amar leva kaima. So Rav Papa said, okay, well, that's fine. The Idei Idis is gone. He promised him he was going to give him from the Idis, and the Idis is still here. So go, let him give him back with the Idis. You know, the reason I promised to give you the Idis is because at the time I had something better and I wanted to keep my highest quality stuff. Now my something better is gone, it's been flooded away, it's been destroyed, so my highest quality stuff is what I had promised you. So now I want my Idis to be in the place of the Idi Idis. That's the Machlokas Amoraim, whether he has such a taina to be able to say that. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Rav Bar Shiva. Oh, yeah.